Good evening, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome to the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night at 7 p.m. on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. Here we are talking about democracy in Wisconsin. We've been on the air now a little over a year. We've premise the show on the belief that Wisconsin needs to always go forward. And we are now less than a month from the April 4th, 2023 election, which is going to be a major, major election. Frankly, one of the most important in my life. But we've always focused on Monday night on how to make Wisconsin a better place to live, and how do we promote democracy. And I'm delighted to have back tonight Matt Moreno, who is the chairperson of the Waukesha Democratic Party. Hello. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. You know, and I wanted Matt back because Waukesha is this key county.
Some would say crucial.
Many people would say crucial. Right here, right in the heart of the state, a county that used to be, you know, everybody would say it was red, but it was always purple. But it's a bluer purple these days. And last time Matt was here was before the November 2022 elections. And we were sort of talking about what were the issues and what was going to happen. We're on the other side of that, and we're on the other side of the February 21st, 2023 primary. So, Matt, what did 2022 teach us about where Waukesha is going?
I mean, 2022 should have been a screaming red flag for Republicans in Wisconsin. You know, I got involved back in the 2010 era, back in when we were called Waukesha. When Scott Walker kind of redefined what being a Republican in Wisconsin meant and really just owned the suburbs. So in 2010, we were starting in just one of the deepest, darkest red counties in America. In fact, Waukesha County was the largest, reddest county in the country. Going back then, we were sub 30% for Democrats, and Waukesha was like the heartbeat of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. It was everything they needed, and it was their balance to Milwaukee and Madison. Since then, pull my fun little infographs I have that we put all over Twitter. Since then, we have moved every single municipality in Waukesha County more blue in the last 12 years.
What did you do?
What did we do? We moved out and we talked to voters. Democrats had a long history of talking to themselves, so we moved out and talked to voters. So we listened to what people had to say. We heard their feedback, and we also changed the perception of what it meant to be a Democrat. You know, and Waukesha is one of those places that you are born there, you live there, you maybe go to school, but you come back. Waukesha County is very, very big on that. And your parents are Republicans. So you just kind of fall into that natural line of Republican. So we went out, we talked to folks. We were proud to be Democrats, and we showed them what Democrats look like. And we stopped letting Republicans define who we are and what we were about, and we defined ourselves. And we reintroduced ourselves to voters all around the county and started kind of showing them that we had a lot more in common than they thought. So that as the Republicans continue to become the modern-day Republican Party that is not the party of Paul Ryan or Scott Walker anymore, we showed them what a viable, moderate, common-sense, adult-in-the-room alternative looked like. And that's one of the biggest ways we started getting votes. Because once you can get past the perception someone has of you, you can have real conversations. And once we have real conversations, there's not a vote I don't think we can win.
So, you know, just looking back into November 2022, what were some of like the key lessons that you learned coming out of that race?
Coming out of 2022, we were really showing what works. Being a common sense government first, Wisconsinite first approach works. Tony Evers, Sarah Rodriguez from Waukesha County, that works. Tony had one of the most decisive victories across the country on election night, handily retaining his spot as governor. And it gave him a mandate to move into this budget cycle to put forward a Wisconsin budget that people want, because he handily won Wisconsin. But also taught us that you need to define yourself. We saw that with Mandela. Mandela struggled to define himself and let Republicans define who he was. And he was kind of playing catch up for a while. So it taught us lessons about how we as a county party need to operate to make sure we are working with and defending and supporting candidates. But I think it also taught candidates what they need to know. And we can already see it going into 2024, where Tammy Baldwin is really out there now making sure people know who she is and what she's been doing for the last, you know, 6 or 4 years since she was elected or reelected. So I think everyone's taking their own lessons away, except the Republican Party, I don't think, has learned their lesson, because they're doubling down on the extremism that lost them in 2022 by nominating Dan Kelly for the Supreme Court race again after we beat him once.
You know, before we jump into Dan Kelly,
I'm a little excited for that.
Yeah, I know that. Me too. But you know, you mentioned Sarah Rodriguez, now Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez,
absolutely,
is from this county.
She sure is.
So how did that victory play out? How have you seen that on the street level in your day-to-day organizing?
It's been amazing. Sarah is possibly one of the best things to happen to Waukesha County in a very long time. She's, in fact, the first Democrat statewide elected official from Waukesha County since the 1800s. And it's been huge. She is an amazing candidate. She's an amazing person if you've had the chance to get to know her like I have. And we've seen that Sarah has been on the ground with Tony since day one of after the election, assuming the role of lieutenant governor, being crisscrossed in the state, using her knowledge and skills as a working mom here in Waukesha County to understand the needs of parents around the state, and her career as a healthcare professional to really listen and understand the needs of urban and rural Wisconsin, unlike any lieutenant governor we've had in recent history.
Are people at the street level here in Waukesha County aware that Sarah is from here and that she's, because she is visible as lieutenant governor, unlike even,
I think she's been great. She marched with us in the holiday parade right after the election, and she was very widely accepted and recognized throughout the entire parade route here in Waukesha, which is not part of her assembly or her former assembly district. And working with her so far, I know that she plans to be out here in Waukesha County a ton during the summer and fall as we do public events, county fair, parades all around. I know she plans to be really active and not kind of just sit on being lieutenant governor. She wants to make sure that not only is she building Waukesha County Dems up and supporting that, but also supporting Tony Evers and the goals of that administration here in one of the reddest parts. Because if you can take the arguments to the Republicans in their own quote-unquote home turf, you're going to be in a really good spot.
So in terms of the arguments, just generally, mm-hmm. What do you think those arguments look like right today and over the next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a tale of two budgets at the statewide level. You look at what Tony proposed. Wisconsin is sitting on a record historic multi-billion-dollar surplus. And Tony says, hey, here's what I heard on my campaign trail. We need the year of mental health to invest historic amounts in mental health. We need to invest in our public schools. We need to finally expand Medicare. And we need to start making sure that the people of Wisconsin get the investments they need in their roads, their bridges, and at home. And also part of that is giving some of that money back to the middle-class taxpayers of Wisconsin, because they need a break as much as anybody else right now. The Republican alternative is a doubling down on the policies that we have seen that do not work. They want to cut taxes for the richest of Wisconsin. They want to cut business taxes. They want to basically repay the donors that funded their elections. That's the Robin Voss way. It's what's worked for him, and that's what he's doing again. So while they have not, go ahead.
Let me just ask, how is that argument playing out, you know, right now in Waukesha County? Is Speaker Voss getting any traction on that?
No, I don't think you can find a single voter, regardless of their party affiliation, that thinks that we should turn Wisconsin's $7 billion budget surplus into a neutral budget by giving that money back to the richest people who don't need it. They want to see that investment happen in our communities. You know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime amount of money for Wisconsin that we need to use responsibly, and I think infrastructure is the best way to do that because that's how you build out Wisconsin for future generations and attract people back to Wisconsin.
You know, I made the mistake of interrupting you there to get your thoughts on Speaker Voss. What else is part of this Voss counter to our governor's proposals?
That's a great question because all he's so far talked about really is cutting taxes on rich people. They are definitely trying to spin their normal narrative. They want to, you know, even the playing field and loosen regulations and open for business. And they're all the fun trigger words. But when push comes to shove, they don't have a budget yet. They said they're going to work on it. They said they're going to release it. And I'm sure they will. But typical Republican fashion, they are completely ignoring the guy who won statewide handedly. And they want to do it themselves on their own in their own gerrymandered districts. You ask how it plays out in Waukesha, and if you look at the races in Waukesha, you'd assume that it played out really well. Republicans won every assembly district that's in Waukesha County, but they also had to gerrymander those maps to cut them in ways that made sure that they would win almost regardless of what we did. We had two Democratic assembly reps from Waukesha or in Waukesha County going into the 2022 cycle, and after gerrymandering, we have none. Because that's what they do. When they see that they're losing ground somewhere, they just change the playing field to make it favorable for them. And I'm sure we'll touch base a little bit more on those maps when we get to the Supreme Court race.
Absolutely. You know, we do have this April 4th election coming up, and it is focused on the Supreme Court. But are there other issues that people are talking about right now that are really, like, maybe not on the radar, but you see them coming up as hot issues over the next year?
Yeah. You know, looking locally, it's the year of local elections. Yes, the Supreme Court race is taking a lot of the air in the room up by historic investments and tons of money being brought into the state. But locally, there's a ton of mobilization around these school boards. We see historic losses of teachers in every district across the county. We see resignations from long-tenured principals and administrators because the Waukesha Republicans have done such a successful job of weaponizing these school boards and making them partisan races that are run more like the Wisconsin State Assembly and a lot less like school boards run by parents.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am here with Matt Moreno, the chairperson of the Waukesha County Democratic Party. And we're talking about how to move not only Waukesha, but all of Wisconsin forward. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am Attorney Mark Thompson. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We are here every Monday night on the Paul Revere Show, 7 o'clock, to talk about moving Wisconsin forward. I mean, that's our logo, forward. Tonight, I'm honored to have the chairperson of the Waukesha County Democratic Party, Matt Moreno, with us. And we were talking before the break about the importance of the school board elections, particularly here in Waukesha right now. So what's sort of the lay of the land?
Yeah, I mean, the lay of the land has really been the local counterpart to us, the Waukesha County Republican Party, has created a program called WISRED. And really what it is at the heart of it is their dying push to try to change the narrative of Waukesha County becoming a more moderate blue county by just flooding these local nonpartisan races with extremist candidates and an extreme amount of money to try to prove that they are still a viable alternative party. And for the most part, for their credit, it has worked. They have won a majority of races, but they've also spent over $100,000 each year for the last 3 years to do it. And now, 2.5 years later, after their first foray into these races, we're seeing the effects. We sit here in downtown Waukesha in the Waukesha School District, where this past year we lost over 100 teachers, administrators, and faculty to retirements or moving because of the policies put in place by these radical extremists that they elect to these school boards. And a lot of the question is, well, what are they doing? How much damage can you really do at a school board level? And the answer is a lot. We see things all the way from banning pride flags in classrooms, demanding certain things that teachers can and cannot teach. In Muskego, a WIST Red Lead initiative from the people they elected stopped a book on the Holocaust from being taught.
Wow.
And Japanese internment camps because it was deemed inappropriate by the school board.
Let me just touch on that. You know, the Holocaust and the Japanese internment, this is World War II. You know, it seemed to me pretty well settled historically, regardless of whether one was a Republican, a Democrat, independent, whatever other party. The consensus was the Holocaust was one of the most evil, terrible things that ever occurred.
Yep.
And that wasn't, I mean, that's just historical fact.
Yeah. And Japanese internment camps is something that we as a nation did that we have since apologized for and owned up to a mistake, which is
straight up. And the courts have ruled on that. Yep. So how is it possible that we have banning of books on the Holocaust? An internship. How did that vote come down?
It was just a straight WIST Red vote. It was a piece of a larger overall vote and narrative about what AP English classes were allowed to teach. The teacher submitted a list of books, and some of the books were rejected, including those.
Was there a response from parents?
There was protests. There was huge rallies at school board meetings to decry it. The Journal Sentinel did a great article covering it and just kind of the wildness of it. And the response that they followed up with just a couple meetings later was saying that all kids at the school had to be called by their government official birth certificate names unless the parents authorized anything else. But what I love to know about that is my birth name is Matthew. Only my sister calls me Matthew. Everyone had no problem ever calling me Matt. But if I felt that I was trans and I wanted my name to be something completely different, now I need parental approval. So it's these types of policies that are just, what does that do for the school? How does that help learning? It doesn't. It is just these extreme candidates are operating like they are partisan assembly members, not common sense local school board members deciding how to move their communities forward. A lot of these folks don't have kids in the district. They don't, might not have kids at all. They are just partisan Republicans who have passed a vetting by the Waukesha Republicans to decide that they are extreme enough to go on these school boards.
You know, I think part of this is really a new kind of Republicanism.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, this, even under Walker, we didn't have, you know, banning books on mm-hmm. the Holocaust.
Yep.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
And certainly, you know, Congressperson Ryan would not articulate that, right?
Probably not. I think one of the best examples, I think, makes your point of the change in Republican Party is here in Waukesha. Last election cycle, there was a school board member named Amanda Roddy. Her and I didn't see eye to eye and much. She was a pretty good, loyal Republican. She even worked for the Republican Party in Waukesha. She collected a paycheck from them. She's on their finance reports. And yet she was not radical enough to get their endorsement. So they endorsed against a sitting member of their own party on the school board. And she did not win her reelection seat because they endorsed against her.
Wow.
Because find me a world in which you can work for the party and still not earn their endorsement because you're not radical enough. It's a wild time right now.
Yeah, I bet you some of the Republican Party meetings have to be pretty, interesting. Have you heard any stories about that? I guess I shouldn't get into hearsay, but
You know, we've had some folks who have been there and they reach out and just talk about what their experiences were. A lot of them get asked to leave because you can kind of tell when someone doesn't belong. But we have heard a lot about how these vetting meetings go. Because what they do is there's a WIS Red board, which mostly consists of the Waukesha Republican leadership, and they will invite candidates to meet with them to basically go through a vetting process to see how extreme you are, how committed to the conservative cause are you to earn their endorsement. And if you don't play ball, you don't want their endorsement, you don't correct, you don't answer the right way, they endorse your opponent and drop tens of thousands of dollars into your school board race where, historically speaking, maybe $1,000 was ever spent just to buy some yard signs and some mail. Now it's being run professionally with paid staff and huge amounts of money coming in.
This is Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here with Matt Moreno talking about the new vetting system in Waukesha and how, if you're not crazy Republican enough, you are not. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Shaw, WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. We are here every Monday night at 7 p.m. I am here tonight with the chairperson of the Waukesha County Democratic Party, Matt Moreno, and we're talking about how to keep Wisconsin moving forward and in this crucial county. We're focusing on Waukesha County tonight. How, you know, what is happening to keep us moving forward? And we're just touching on, you know, the school board elections. That brings me to the next question. Youth, what are the youth doing to move Waukesha County forward?
Yeah, the youth are as fired up as I've ever seen them. Because they're the ones who are on the front lines of these radical school boards. They're the ones dealing with these policies every day in their classrooms. They see their favorite teachers leaving the district. They see the pride flags or the places that they know are safe for them to be or to confide in these grown-ups who act as mentors for them being no longer available. So they are turning their attention to places that normally 18-year, 17-year-olds look at school boards. So we have more activism in our local school board races than I've seen in a very long time, from parents of kids who can't vote or just kids who can't vote but want to be involved and want to share their story. In Waukesha County, we have a long history of being proud of our youth involvement, from me getting elected in 2016 as the youngest state chair or the youngest county chair in state party history.
Thank you for pointing that out. That was my mistake. I meant to mention that earlier.
Oh, you're totally fine.
Congratulations again.
To the investment we made when I took over in our young people and how it comes full circle. The Waukesha County Dems this year, actually just a few weeks ago, brought on our first paid staffer ever. Her name is Lauren Yoder. She's fantastic. And she started out as a high school Democrat that we took into our mentorship program years ago. She went on to be an amazing college Democrat, and she came back home and she took a job with us. We're the first county party in Wisconsin to have a staffer year-round, off-cycle or not, because we have the resources that we want to invest in our community and community organizing, and doing that through the youth. And by investing in their training now, we are going to make them activists for life, and Lauren is a great example of that.
I want you to say that one more time because, you know, the show is here in Waukesha. I am proud to be the host here in Waukesha. I do have a Milwaukee address, and I do live in Milwaukee County, and I want you to make that shout out again. Waukesha County,
yeah,
the Democratic Party.
The Waukesha County Dems are the first county party in Wisconsin and the only county party in Wisconsin to have a staffer year-round. Her focus is youth work, but she's also a general community organizer. But, you know, being in her early 20s and having a history of youth organizing, that doesn't go away.
So that's a shout out for all you other and my county board. It is time to get busy and catch up with Waukesha. Waukesha is like leading the pack here.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we kind of are. In all ways, I'm very proud of what our county has done, but through the youth, so Lauren is our paid staffer doing that job. And then we also have another youth organizer who is a volunteer organizer who all she does is youth. Her name is Erin. She's a Carroll University student, and she's also fantastic. And these are two young women, young people, who are energized, who are passionate, and they want to spread that to make sure that in April we have a huge amount of young people from high schools and universities around the county, or even folks who just are working already, out to vote in April because so much is on the line.
You know, the we're talking about the youth and how they're dealing with a lot of their favorite teachers being forced out. You know, we were just talking during the break briefly about this Fox News story that just hit about this, the police are investigating allegations of racism at a basketball game in Muskego. And that seems like that's a youth issue. And if I remember right, you got personal ties to Muskego, right?
Yeah, I'm a proud warrior from the class of 09. Oh, God, I'm dating myself now. Yeah, proud Muskego warrior. And it's, I read that just a minute ago. I saw it when you showed me, and it hurts. It hurts because I go there. I have a niece who goes to Muskego High. And this is not representative of what that young community is. It's not representative of who the students are that walk those halls every day. But it is unfortunately an example of what is condoned by the people, by the parents of that district and by the district itself. How these school board leaders respond to the fact that there were a very small number of kids using the N-word, calling black athletes monkeys, making terrible noises, and unconfirmed wearing blackface. How the school responds to that will set a tone for what is condoned and not condoned in those hallways.
You know, I think this is really sort of a time of reckoning for white folks, right? Mm-hmm. We're sitting here. There are, you know, I look at it, and I personally don't think that a majority of white folks are evil intentioned. Now, clearly there we have a significant percentage that have been, you know, like sort of pulled out of their basement by the what I call the Trump movement, mm-hmm. and this hate movement that just, you know, where we've lost the ability to respect for each other. I mean, there was a time that, you know, you couldn't go into a gym and that would be tolerated, right?
Yeah.
I still believe that about Waukesha County. I believe that the majority of white folks here have to look at what happened. And Muskego is like, this cannot be allowed to continue.
Absolutely. I think, you know, yes, there is some level of racism that exists.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely. We have white pride groups here in Waukesha County. The Waukesha Dems were a target of white pride violence after the Daryl Brooks tragedy a couple years ago. We were featured in a white supremacist recruiting video. Our office was. So it exists, and I think it's important to acknowledge that, but it's also really important to acknowledge that the vast majority of folks, regardless of party affiliation, does not condone or tolerate racism.
But I think this is the time. You can't sit there quiet anymore. I think you, if good, decent white folks don't stand up and speak out and condemn this racist outcry, then it's on us.
Absolutely.
Then it's on us.
You have to speak up. You have to use your platform to own and to make sure that it's not condoned. My partner and I, we talk a lot about what men's responsibility is in terms of sexual assault and the type of jokes you condone around you and how you address when people make, quote unquote, just a dumb joke. As a man, you have to shut that down in terms of how we talk about women. And as a white person, if somebody around you is making a joke that is racially charged, it needs to be shut down because it's those types of it's those areas where racist folks will put feelers out to see if it's a safe spot for them to actually say something racist. And Donald Trump condoned that. He gave a lot of those racist folks the safe space now to say racist things and not feel like they will be shunned for it. We just need to get back to a time where we make racists ashamed again for anything terrible they say or feel.
Yeah, I mean, I think without a fair discussion about our actual history, American history, right? I mean, you know, this is March, not February, but, you know, Black History Month is really not a month. It's every day of you know, of our existence.
Yeah.
We are, this is our American history.
Absolutely. I mean, to continue to keep America as the greatest country in the world, which I firmly believe it is, we need to have an unabashed look at our past, own the mistakes we made, and strive to be better. Germany does not hide Hitler or hide the Nazis from their history. They own the fact that it happened, and they work every single day to be better.
Yeah,
we could do the exact same thing here in America. We just can't be ashamed and afraid to own what we did and the mistakes we made and work to be a better nation every day.
So, we'll be watching what's going to happen here in Muskego, and we'll be watching the school board elections. You know, this is all tied to the sort of this April 4 election. Right? All these issues.
Absolutely.
So how do you see, and we'll just spend the rest of the hour talking about April 4 and the significance of it. How do you see it teeing up?
I mean, I think this is exactly where Democrats wanted to be. We have Judge Janet, who is a sitting judge who has a long history of overseeing cases.
That's Judge Janet Protasiewicz.
I'm not brave enough to say that last name on air.
That's fine. I think that's why she's tagged herself.
Judge Janet?
Judge Janet, right? Because all of us can say it, right? But it is Judge Janet Protasiewicz.
Well, I appreciate you carrying me through the finish line on that.
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. All the time.
But I think she gives a great opposition to Dan Kelly. She's almost everything he's not. She has served a long time on the bench. She has a history of overseeing trials. She has been clear and upfront with her feelings on what it means to be a Supreme Court judge. She has talked openly about cases that they have viewed that she's not viewed and how she felt that they were judged poorly. She has pledged to recuse herself in cases that will actually provide ethical conflict for her. Because that's the right thing we need from a judge. We need a judge who will be open to us about who they are and how they're going to litigate. And we need a judge who will also recognize that sometimes you can't separate your personal feelings from a case and recuse yourself. That's the ethical thing that judges do. And then we have Dan Kelly, who lives here in Waukesha. Sometimes it seems like he doesn't get out of Waukesha very much. We beat him once, and I'm confident we'll beat him again. He got put on the Supreme Court by Scott Walker. He ruled as a diehard Republican. He based his campaign office out of the Republican Party headquarters in Madison. When he lost his judgeship, he went to work for the Waukesha or the Wisconsin Republican Party, overseeing the challenges to the 2020 election, making over $100,000 from Republicans to challenge the validity of our democracy. And yet he has the nerve to say that he doesn't need to recuse himself in Republican-led cases because he can separate that from his ethical guidelines as a judge. I think voters can smell bullcrap when it presents itself, and I think they smelt it the first time he ran. They'll smell it again this time.
So the you threw out a whole lot, right?
Oh,
there.
I didn't even scratch the surface.
Well, I want to scratch some of that,
okay.
And then we'll get more into it. But let's just start where you sort of started. You said that Judge Janet Protasiewicz, has publicly announced that she will recuse herself if the Democratic Party is a party in a lawsuit.
Yep.
And her opponent from Waukesha, Dan Kelly, has been silent on that issue and, in fact, has done work for the Republican Party expressly as a client.
Yep, and his office was in their headquarters.
Why do you think Dan Kelly is afraid to say I should recuse myself?
I think it goes back to why he and other Republicans want to be on the Supreme Court, and that is to legislate as a – judge as a Republican and basically rubber stamp the Wisconsin Republicans' desires. We saw it from the court case where as soon as Tony Evers won, they stripped the governor of so many powers between Scott Walker's lame duck time and Tony Evers taking over that was held up by a Dan Kelly Supreme Court. They need his vote because if he recuses himself, it becomes a 3-3, and they don't want that. So they know that, or he knows that his role is to get there and to do their bidding.
You know, I am a lawyer, and it seems to me that if you are out there at this level, one at least should publicly say that you will recuse when the party is, the Republican Party is a candidate. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are talking about the April 4th, 2023 election, a crucial election in Wisconsin history. Remember, we're always going forward. This is the Paul Revere Show. I am Attorney Mark Thompson. This is The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8. Always talking about the state of democracy in Wisconsin and how to keep moving it forward. I am here tonight with the chairperson of the Waukesha County Democratic Party, Matt Moreno. And we are talking about the April 4th, 2023 election for the Supreme Court spot that will decide the direction, the new majority of the court, and the future of Wisconsin. And I say future for, you know, as a practical matter, for at least, you know, the next census cycle and what maps look like. Matt, you had mentioned that, you know, maps and the gerrymander are one of the issues. How do you see this race for the Supreme Court and the maps and fairness at play?
Yeah, I know Judge Janet has said that she would like to review that case. I'm sure she sees some legal holes and legal flaws in the pretty shocking in that it shouldn't have happened, but not surprising in that we know who was on the court decision to uphold some very, very radically gerrymandered maps. And to put that in perspective, so Tony Evers won Wisconsin handedly, about 53% of the vote, if I'm not mistaken. And yet there is a near supermajority in the state Senate for the Republicans and a near supermajority in the state assembly for the Republicans, meaning that Democrats won a heavily majority of the state, but lost a heavy majority of assembly seats, which is just, I mean, no practical way do you think that works. And it, at a local level, it's even harder because when you are a sitting representative of either party and you know that you will win re-election as long as a core piece of your base likes you, you have no incentive to govern for the people of your district. You have an incentive to govern for the minority of the party that supports you in the primary.
You know, I think that's such a key point. And I think the historical context needs to even get a little broader. And just, I want to get your thoughts on this. I think a lot of people have forget or overlooked the fact that we had a federal court of three judges. I believe there are two Republican appointees and one Democratic appointee in a 2-1 decision where a Democratic appointee and a Republican appointee actually held that the Wisconsin maps were unconstitutional. And they said it was unconstitutional because it was so unfair that even at a constitutional level, they couldn't overlook it. Yeah. This was like so partisan that we had a case. And it went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and people forget that. Now, ultimately, the Supreme Court sort of punted and said, we're not going to make that an issue for the courts. But when people attack Judge Janet Protasiewicz for saying that the maps – most people say they're unfair. It's not because other judges haven't recognized it, right?
Absolutely. Right? I mean, it seems pretty common sense that if you just look at the results and see what happens, it looks pretty common sense that something's not right. Wisconsin maps have been called some of the most partisan gerrymandered maps in history of the United States.
Without a doubt.
For good reason.
Right.
And I think what Janet is doing, I know the Republicans are fawning outrage that she would dare comment on a case.
But you know what? She hasn't said, I would decide this case that way.
Absolutely.
All she's comment on is that, look, it's unfair. People have said it. And that's why I said it. You know, this we had a courts that have said it was unconstitutionally unfair.
Yeah. And I think it gets more to the core of this election and electability. If you're the average voter and you are paying attention to this race, you know in your common sense gut that these candidates have feelings and they have thoughts about these decisions. They have thoughts about the issues coming before them. So when they say, oh, I can't comment because they'd be premature, it doesn't pass the smell test of the average person. It just smells like bullcrap.
Especially let's touch on.
Yeah.
1849 abortion law.
100%.
What does Dan Kelly say on that? What does Judge Janet say?
Judge Janet has been pretty firm that Roe v. Wade should have been the law of the land and that she thinks that Supreme Court precedent should stand.
Right.
That's pretty common sense.
50 years of constitutional rights should be recognized,
yep.
Right?
The Supreme Court was the first time in American history we took a right that was given and we took it away. So she made a comment on that, and the Republicans were like, oh, heavens me, they can't comment on cases like that. That's so bad. But everyone in this state has an opinion on Roe v. Wade. And then Dan Kelly, he has plenty of opinions. He puts them in a blog where he says that abortion leads to more sex, and that's not good. Too much sex. And it also just—
Immoral sex.
Immoral sex.
I mean, he's out there blogging
yep.
that a woman's— reproductive rights, decisions over reproductive rights is the equivalent of promoting crazy sex.
Absolutely.
I mean,
Dan Kelly's views belong more in his mom's basement than they do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Men like that and views that women's bodies have a larger impact on anything in society other than their choice do not belong on the Supreme Court. And just to really drive home the point of Dan Kelly and what he plans to do as an elected judge, he wants to be rubber stamped for Republicans. Because if you look at comments he and other Republicans have made about Justice Hagedorn.
The new Republicans.
He wants to be the judge. Yes.
I think people forget this. We're not talking the Walker Republicans.
Yeah, this is the new breed of Republicans. Okay. Hagedorn has burned them. And they say it publicly.
Justice Hagedorn.
Yeah, excuse me. Hagedorn. He burned them. He ran, he got the support, and he is not rubber stamping everything they want. God forbid he breaks with the Republican majority to vote with the other justices on a case.
Now, Justice Hagedorn looked at the 2020 elections, and he said the people voted for President Biden, and he was not going to usurp the vote.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, I'm not going to steal the election from the people.
And we have people like Mark Belling who are already saying that he needs to be held accountable when the time comes. You know, this is where the Republicans are. They don't want judges. They want legislators on the bench who will agree with whatever the Republican Party tells them to do.
So this gets back to the question. How is the party and the young people in Waukesha going to play a role on April 4th?
I think that the young folks across Wisconsin and Waukesha, I think Waukesha specifically, will drive home the results that Dan Kelly does not deserve to be on the Supreme Court. Obviously,
you heard it here, folks. You heard it here from Matt Moreno that the Waukesha youth are going to make sure Dan Kelly doesn't win.
Absolutely. Everyone looks at statewide races with statewide results. They take their time to come in. I check Waukesha County. I am confident Judge Janet will be somewhere north of 37%. And if she hits 38, 39, I know it's going to be a real early night because there's no way Dan Kelly's overcoming that in Waukesha County.
This is the Paul Revere Show. This is attorney Mark Thompson. You just heard it live from Matt Moreno, Justice, or soon to be Justice.